Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, we're about to get ready to start our show. Chaplain Dirt and the Sister Marie going to pray. Before we get started, I'm going to pass some praise and worship, but then I want to get back with her after we get two songs in. Hello. Can't hear him. Chaplain Durden, can you hear me?
I want to talk to you. I want to talk to you. Just pray. Okay, good evening and welcome to Live Deliverance Internet Radio. We want to welcome all of our listening audience and those who are participating in our blog talk room. We're now about to get ready to connect ourselves with Live Deliverance Internet Radio, our 24-hour-a-day internet radio station. That's at www.livedeliverance.com. And, okay. Soundcheck testing 1, 2. Soundcheck. Soundcheck testing 1, 2. Stand by. Soundcheck testing 1, 2.
Soundcheck testing 1, 2. Okay, we soundcheck testing. Soundcheck. Soundcheck. Soundcheck testing 1, 2. Soundcheck testing 1, 2. Soundcheck testing 1, 2. Soundcheck testing 1, 2. Okay, we are back up. I got the lock on the mic. God bless every one of you. And once I hit this button for audio, Audacity, I can record the sermon. All right, everything's back together. I'm the engineer, the counselor, the ones who's telling them to come out in the name of Jesus, restoring, restoration, doing deliverance. Amen. I do it as unto the Lord. Amen. Okay, let me see. Can I still get this brother to? All right. Brother John, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, let Sister Maureen, she's going to bring forth prayer before we bring the word.
Yes.
Okay,
thank
you can
Lord,
begin.
For you. Okay. Thank you, Lord, for your word. We honor your word tonight. We exalt your holy word. Your word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing our soul and spirit. Lord, quicken us in your word tonight. Order our steps in your word, Lord. Make our crooked places straight and the rough places plain in your word. May our minds be alert and clear and our hearts become receptive. Let every thought be brought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. I pray that your word brings salvation, healing, and deliverance to every listener in need tonight. In the name of your divine son, Jesus of Nazareth, we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen and amen. We're going to be dealing with the final ending of crucifying our flesh. What does the Bible says? We know that we have been teaching that everything is not a demon. We do have to deal with some issues in our flesh. And I have some very, very interesting scriptures for you. This is a word church. We do everything biblically. This is also an internet radio. We are having our telethon, and we are needing about $600 more to reach our goal to receive $1,000 for an attorney. We have a lawyer that's going to get us back on air. I want to give a testimony to the power of God before we start this. Dealing with my wallet, I was doing an exorcist, doing a serious exorcism, and dealing with some high-ranking demonic spirits with witchcraft, black magic, conjums, telekinesis, psychotrometry, Reverend Sun Young Moon. I mean, there was a McGraw-Haw, all kind of stuff. Anyway, I don't lose my wallet. And I'm going to give a testimony of how powerful this ministry is. And I also want to give a testimony of those who are operating in this ministry, the danger that is in this ministry. I'm not here to scare nobody. It's real. I don't fear Satan. We have authority over him, but we do in a war. And when you're in a war, they do fire bullets back. There's no war that you're just going to do the shooting and you don't get shot back at or counteract. This is a war. And I think Pastor Rodriguez Baker, one of the assistant pastors, gave a word to me to get some rest. I have been really going 2-3 hours of sleep. You know, 60-year-old still thinking I'm special forces. But, you know, I do this in the Lord and I receive it. We do have to get rest because the enemy will definitely try to snatch that away from a person who's doing this. I ask for your prayers. And I want to give this testimony before we start. I couldn't find my wallet. And I called Sister Durden. And I was talking to Brother Paul who was doing a deliverance. And Sister Durden said, take it back. Get it back. I said, I'm going to get off this phone and cast these demons out this house. Now, I'm at my home, but I run it out to my best friend. I'm not here a lot. I'm going back and forth to 2 countries. I'm here, then I'm in Jamaica, then I'm back here. So as I was doing deliverance, it was over. I remember putting my wallet here in the studio. This is my studio here that we do live broadcasts. I couldn't find that wallet. Well, I called in the 2 credit cards. I said, wait a minute. I did that just in case it was stolen. Nothing else was stolen. Make a long story short, the wallet was in the sink in the dishwasher. Dishwasher detergent water sitting in the water down at the bottom. Lenny picks it up. When he passed it to me, when I touched it, It was dry. The water was not wet. My wallet was restored. I said, you give me back my wallet in the name of Jesus. If any of you are encountering something missing in your home or you see something that's gone, it's moved, demons do move things. Yes, they do. They'll try to irritate you. They do, and they will scratch you. If they manifest, they will, and they can. So this ain't not, these things is nothing to play with. Stay behind the blood of Jesus. Amen. So I wanted to give the glory of God that testimony because God's word is true, and God's word is very, very powerful. Before I begin this teaching, I want all of you to know that you cannot grow without studying the Bible. There's a lot to cover tonight. I don't know how long I'm going to be on here, but I know that I'm clocked in, and I know that God has specifically given me to give all of you scriptures concerning everything I say because I want you to go and search it for yourself. Please, we're going into a new year. Make it on your list that you're going to study the word every day if you can. Don't be ignorant of the word. Jesus says in Matthew 22:29 that you err not knowing the truth and not knowing scriptures. 1 Corinthians 15:34 says, awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. It's a shame that we don't know the Bible. And you cannot change, and we're going to be dealing with things about the flesh tonight. You cannot cast out your flesh. You got to fast. You got to put this thing under subjection. You also have to allow God to deal with your heart. Our heart is above, wicked above all imagination. Our heart is evil. We're going to look at the heart because we're dealing with things that we have to do besides casting out demons. See, when a demon come out of you, it puts a blueprint on your flesh. It's been in there. The flesh used to it. The demon's been feeding off of it. The flesh loves what it gave the demons, that you gave the demons permission to attack them through lust, through gluttony, hate, animosity, bitterness. And when these spirits leave out of you and depart out of you, it's still made up part of your personality that you got to tear down. The Bible says that you are clean through the word, so you cannot cleanse yourself if you don't study. In Hebrews 3:4, the word of God says, whereby when ye read, it's all in the Bible. Isaiah 34:16, seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. And a lot of people say they can't understand the King James. That is just as simple as it can get. 1 Timothy 4:13, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine, the word of God. And remember in 2 Timothy 3:16 that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, watch this, for corrections. You don't know what you're going to get corrected with if you don't read what's in the Bible to tell you what God don't want you to do, what he do want you to do. Most of us sit and follow a pastor or a church or a denomination or something that amuses you by the music department, the entertainment, the ladies' ministry, something, whatever. But it ain't the word of God. And you'll sit back and become lazy, spiritually lazy, and carry your wife to a church. Well, I don't want to get into the casting out of demons because if they ain't casting out demons or speaking in tongues or laying hands, I don't see the 9 gifts you need to go. Some churches are getting there, some not. At least you need some that speak in tongues and that believe in the 9 gifts. Something is better than nothing. But you got to read. You can't depend on nobody. And the times are so bad. I also want to take an opportunity to pause a moment for those who was lost, the loved ones in Kentucky. Times are coming to an end. We have a serious problem. We have a problem, climate. And the climate, if it doesn't change, it's going to destroy the world with this mess. We got to ask God to heal and comfort those who in that tragedy. God bless them. It wiped out 2 miles of a city. Times is coming. Times is getting bad. And we want to just pray for them right now. Father, Lord, we come in the name of Jesus and all those who was killed in the tornadoes. Father, we ask that you bring healing to them. We ask that you restore them, Lord Jesus. We ask that you heal their bodies, give them a house, give them comfort in this time of need, Lord. And Father, we just pray for those who have lost their loved ones. And we pray that some more get recovered and that your love and mercy and grace will be with them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so remember, study the Bible. Amen. All right, now let's get to the teachings. When we sin against God, that's what the flesh wants. When we sin against God, that is what the flesh wants. Now, the flesh is going to make you pay it back, but a lot of us don't realize when we sow things in the flesh, we're going to reap it back. And this is what caused a lot of people from really getting to the blessings of God because of the particular sin that's hindering them from stepping over. God may be having a blessing for you, man. And there's something, you got some unforgiveness in your heart towards your mama or your cousin or whoever. And that thing is hindering you so that you can't get your blessing. It's not worth it. Release it. Release people. Because when you are dealing with your character, yourself, this has nothing to do with demons tonight. It's things that we have to do inwardly. It's a mindset. A frame of character, of righteousness, a desire to change. But when we do these evils, things happen to us. In Jeremiah chapter 44, verse 23, it says, because ye have burnt incense, and because ye have sinned against the Lord, and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord, nor walked in his law, nor in his statute, nor in his testimonies, therefore this evil is happening unto you as at this day. When we do these things, it hurts us. And God doesn't want that. Then he says in Jeremiah 44:28, yet a small number that escaped the sword shall return out of the land of Egypt into the land of Judah, and all the remnant of Judah that are gone into the land of Egypt to sojourner there shall know whose words shall stand, mine's or theirs. And God's words are going to stand. Then he says, and this shall be a sign unto you, said the Lord, that I will punish you in this place, that you may know that my words shall surely stand against you for evil. You don't want that wrath on us because we are saved and engrafted by Christ. A lot of Christians struggle with the flesh. We all do. This thing takes a lifetime and a battle, and you need a lot of grace. And we're going to talk about grace, the sufficient for grace. We're going to deal with some scriptures on grace because we have to understand that without grace, there is no change. We make mistakes. God gives us grace. Now, I'm going to recapitulate what we did last week. Derek Prince, my mentor, told me that it's good to recapitulate. Sometimes people will miss it. But when we first started off on this series that you cannot cast out your flesh, you have to modify it, we also was taught that we have to cleanse out the filthiness of the flesh and spirit in 2 Corinthians 7:1. And then we dealt with Galatians 5:16 on the first series. This I say, walk in the spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Well, a lot of people don't know how to walk in the spirit. I didn't know how to walk in the spirit. I'm still learning. Walking in the spirit is a commitment, and you have to definitely divorce yourself from the world. You have to divorce yourself from the world, and a lot of people are not willing to divorce themselves from the world. There are many subliminal messages that come across the TV tube when people watch it. Be very cautious of what you watch because you don't know, and put the arm of God on that you can watch. Now, I watch exorcisms because I'm in this ministry. I'm always trying to craft my skill and learn and see certain things. You know, I was watching and I tested the spirit and I did some research and I found out that demons walk faster on water than they do on land. You know, so watch what you watch because I'm always watch something that's educational. Be very careful because there's a lot of sin that the eyes can see, and you're trying to cast out demons and the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father but is of the world. 1 John 2:15. When you get a hold out of the world in you, then your soul and your personality will be worldly, and it will be very difficult for you to try to make any type of change with that type of ideology that you're standing on. Now, in Romans 6:12, the word says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust. So we see here that the flesh has lust. The flesh has lust and it wants you to obey it. And I have never had nobody to tell me this. And this is why we see people 32 years old getting saved, or people 19 years old getting saved, having so many problems with lustful sins, because the bloodline that came down, their mother had it, their father had it, the blood generational curses are attached to it, and you're trying to crucify the flesh. You haven't broke the curse. You haven't cast out the demon. When you get the demon cast out, of course, you got to forgive. And then when you forgive, you got to break curses. And after you break curses, you cast out. And then when you cast out, you modify. You start working on your character, working on your soul, and working on your heart. But here, the scriptures tell us that let not sin therefore ring in your mortal bodies, that you should obey it, the lust. And the lust, we all deals with this thing. And believe me, it's a battle, and it comes in our mind, in our imagination. We have to guard ourselves and all the imagination and cast them down, if not God, because if you meditate on them things, you'll start operating in it. You have to understand that demons entice, and they also entice your flesh. The Bible says that they entice, and they do entice your flesh. So if you know that, you know, you have a problem with pornography, then why are you still on the internet taking a peek at it here and there? See, that's still in your heart. You got to first detach it from your heart. And once the heart is clean and create in me a new heart, then it's more easier for us to crucify the flesh. We have to deal with the heart. That's the thing in man. And then most of us are trying to crucify the flesh and not deal with the heart. So I got to fast and put the flesh on. But if it's coming from your heart, you can fast all day. The fast is only going to settle the spirits while you fasting. But when you come off, if your heart still desire a gluttony of 15 hamburgers, and you know you ain't down to 8, you know, won't that be telling you something? Then you can really open a door with demons, so be very careful of that. The Bible says in James 1:14, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust, L-U-S-T. Now that lust is dealing with the flesh. Here's the demon, lust and enticed. Well, who's doing the enticing? The demons. You, the lust. You see in Galatians 5:16-17, the Bible tells us that the spirit lusts against the flesh and the flesh lusts against the spirit. These are contrary one to another. You see, when we hear the word new creature, old things are past, that takes time. That comes out of 2 Corinthians 5:17, when it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That's the beginning step to salvation. And that comes from the inner heart, changing of the heart, fasting, modifying the flesh, changing your ways, asking God to cleanse your heart where your heart can sustain itself to do things of righteousness instead of the evilness that comes from generation to generation passed down to you all the way back to Adam and Eve. We are crucified with Christ. We talked about that in Galatians 2:20 last week. We also dealt with Matthew 16:24-25. Matthew 8:22, Romans 8:13, Romans 12:1-2, and Colossians 3:1-8. We also talked about modifying ourselves. Now, that's what we have to do tonight. We have to modify your flesh. Now, that is not casting out demons. You have to modify it. It has nothing to do with casting out of demons. All right, let's turn, and we're going to start getting into the Word now. We're going to let the Word walk us through how to deal with this flesh, the instructions of what the Bible says that we have to do in order to get victory. It's not easy. It's a daily process. It takes time. If you got the time, God got the time also. Let's look at mortifying ourselves. We're going to go to the book of Colossians chapter 1, Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 through 16. Hang on. I'm trying to find this, the scripture. Eight. All right, Colossians, there it is. Colossians chapter 3. Now, notice in Colossians 3, it says, the true center of Christian Life. I'm coming from Life in the Spirit Bible. I recommend that Bible. That was the first Bible Chaplain John Durden gave me, and when I was in the ministry at the hospital, at the chaplaincy. And it's a very effective Bible. You know, the notations are good, but don't depend on them. Just let the Holy Spirit lead you. I do listen, read them at certain times when the Lord says, okay, get this one, but read. It's a good Bible, a good teaching Bible. All right, let's look at this thing here in Colossians 3:1. It says, if ye thee be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. If we're trying to get rid of our flesh, our fleshly thinking, the ways in that we respond to doing things, we cannot think the natural way anymore. We have to think above. How can you think on it? The Bible says, whatsoever is of a good report, think on these things in Philippians 4:8. Meditate on the word. That's a start to transform your inner self. Change your ways. Make yourself read the Bible. Break. But then she could add a Hosea 10:12. You'll follow ground. You got a lot of foul ground that you have to break up. Hosea 10:12. Thank you, Lord. Break up your follow ground. You may have some stubbornness down in there, determined to eat that Twinkie. And you got to eat 4 and 5 Twinkies. That's gluttony. And that thing want to stay in you. Once that thing get out of you, you have to break the heart of wanting it. And you got to seek the kingdom of God to change your thinking. So the Bible says, seek those things which are above. Most Christians don't even do that. Where Christ set it on the right hand of God. That's in Mark 16:19. It shows he did seated at the right hand of God. When he ministered the ministry of deliverance and gave the final warning of the deliverance ministry, he that believeth should be saved, he that believeth not should be damned. In my name you shall cast out devils. And after that, the Bible says, set at the right hand of the Father. That's in Mark 16:19. Colossians 3:2 says, set your afflictions on things above, not on things on earth. Now, believers, because our lives are in Christ, who is seated in heaven, we must set our minds on and let our attitudes be determined by things above. We must view and evaluate everything from an eternal and heavenly perspective. Our goals and pursuits should center in Christ Jesus, including resting or resisting sin and being clothed with Christ's life and character, spiritual grace, power, experience, and blessings are all with Christ in heaven. He bestows these things on all who sincerely, diligently pursue him with all their heart. Now, if your heart is not in it, you won't change. You can fast all day. You can read the word. You got to have a changed heart. Study tonight, 1 Corinthians 12:11. Study Ephesians 1:3. Study Ephesians 4:7-8. Now, in verse 2, it says, set your afflictions on things above, not on things on the earth. Notice it said that two times. The first one, he said, if ye thee be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. That's one time. Where Christ said it on the right hand of God. Set your afflictions on things above. Your what? Afflictions. And what else you got to say? Those things above everything you got to cast on God. Spiritual, physical, everything. And if you can do that, you can really get into the word and it can change your heart. It has to be an inward change before the flesh can be crucified. You cannot crucify your flesh without the inner heart. You may have an evil heart or desire to steal something. You still want to steal something. You may have, you know, I don't like to use sex all the time because every pastor likes to use sex. It's just a sin like every other sin. So let's go with, here you got Twinkie bars, gluttony. You see, you got to get that out. Lord, you got to change my character. That takes the word, meditation, and seeking him. Now, here in Colossians 3:3, he says, for you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. See, we are dead. We're dead to sin, but our flesh is not dead to sin. And you have to fight the flesh. We are dead to sin. Our spirit is dead to sin because Jesus lives in us. But our sin comes through the flesh, not from the spirit of Christ. For you are dead, and your life is hidden with him. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Now the Bible says, therefore, mortify therefore your members. Mortify them. We have to mortify, we have to put that away. Mortify them. Mortify therefore your members. He didn't say cast out. He said mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, wanting something that's not yours, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God come on the children of disobedience, in that which ye also walked sometimes when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger. Now you can get the demon of anger cast out of you, but you got to put it off from the heart. And then if you don't change your heart, the demons that's been cast out going to come right back in because you're giving them a legal right. The imprint of what they had in your flesh is still in there. So the word got to cleanse that. Sanctification to be set apart from that. You got to sanctify yourself to get set apart to these old ways. And let me tell you something. This flesh don't want to submit to nothing. It's a beast. I trip up. I get back up. Get back up. Get back up. You fall. Get back up. I don't care the righteous or fall seven times. The Bible says get back up. Do not wallow in your sin and you're going to become the prodigal son. You know, well, I ain't good enough to serve the Lord. And then the demons are going to start talking to you. Say, well, yeah, you know, this might as well go ahead on and get another Budweiser. Well, might as well because I'm doing the Lord wrong. And here you got a spirit in you that's been cast out, a demon of alcohol, been in you all your life. 20, 30 years that alcohol demon has been in you. And here you go still drinking it. That's the flesh. That's the imprint. That's the flesh. The flesh is used to. You have to change habits. When I got off crack cocaine, I ain't had nothing fresh to get off that. That was supernatural. I got off of it. I was on crack cocaine. I was running guns. I was a drug dealer. They called me T-Money. I had a gold 45 being used by the devil. Just a stupid, taking an 1100 Suzuki motorcycle in the flesh, driving cocaine from Atlanta all the way to Miami, Miami back to Atlanta, back in Club Nicky's and all this stupid foolishness in the flesh and all that. When you get them demons cast out of you, you still got to deal with the flesh, old habits. You know, it ain't easy. It took me years and years to get rid of some of those things. Thank God that crack, I just got off that. Boom, God took me off that. I called on his name Jesus. Jesus, and white smoke came out of my mouth. I ain't touched it since. Don't want to touch it. But this flesh ain't that fast. This flesh is imprinted. This thing is deep. You're going to need grace. Stop condemning yourself. God says there's now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. There ain't no condemnation. All things work together for good of those who love the Lord, according to his mercies, his riches, and his glory, Romans 8:28. For as me as my house, we're going to serve the Lord. The just shall live by faith. This is a one-day process. You cannot crucify your flesh overnight. One day at a time. Tomorrow has enough troubles of its own. Deal with one day at a time. That's what I do. I don't have a five-year picture. One day at a time. I got to get by 12 midnight. But now you also put off all these. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth. Out the abundance of the heart, the mouth speak it. The mouth goes back to most of these character issues that has to be eradicated from the evil heart to a righteous heart. Create in me a new heart. Amen. Psalms 51:10. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. See, this is the old character that takes time to put off. I don't know anybody that did it overnight. If you did, you can write a book. I'll buy it. You can come on this radio station. Call me, 678-701-3733, because I'm keeping it real. It ain't easy. Because you've been doing this for years, for so many years, and it's rooted in you. It's rooted in your personality. It's rooted in your heart. And the word can uproot it. This is why you have to study. This is why I told everybody, please study. Because you get that word in you, it break up that fallow ground. Colossians 3:10, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge. Hosea 4:6, Isaiah 5:13, knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Jew nor There's neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Then it says, put on peace and truth. That is not casting out. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercy. You have to put that on. How do you get mercy? Read 1 Corinthians chapter 13 about love. Read the prodigal son. Read things as you see restoration in a person and get the mercy character as Christ gives. Some of you are hard on people, so hard on yourself that you're living under the law, not under grace. You are born and saved and sanctified in grace. You're not under the law. You're not under the schoolmaster. Jesus took the place of the old schoolmaster. He is the second Adam. He took the first Adam place. He also took Melchizedek, the high priest, that brought forth sin offering, Hebrews chapter 7. He took Melchizedek's position. He's the high priest and king of kings of all through his death and resurrection. All right. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humility of mind, meekness, long-suffering. That's persecution. Most Christians don't want to be persecuted. I don't like it, but it's part of the process. Persecution means humility. Because God don't want nobody up here casting out demons trying to get credit and writing books. I don't write books. I don't get credit. I just want to just get to heaven. Not here for to be glory. Forbearing one another. Forbearing one another. That's forgiveness. Forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on love, charity, which is the bond of perfectionists. You have to put that on. Well, what is love? Go to 1 Corinthians 13. The Bible has an answer for your character change. It can cleanse your heart, creating me a new heart, but you've got to want God to do it. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching, and abomination one another, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatsoever you do, do it word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father by him. Amen. That has nothing to do with casting out. Now, notice in Colossians, write this down. There are some things he said to put on. That's in Colossians 3:10. That's your homework. What to put on? It's in Colossians 3:10. Write that down. Put this on. It's something he wants you to put on. It's in Colossians 3:12. Put on Colossians 3:14. Now, right next to that, put what to put off. It's not demons. It's your character, your flesh. Put this off. That's in Colossians 3:8. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. Colossians chapter 3, verse 9. Don't forget that you must forgive people. You can't change unless you forgive and release people. Amen? Okay. Now, we want to deal. Let's get the next one here. We want to deal with sin. You have to look at your own sin. Sin is a me-first, self-pleasing attitude of heart. Everything comes to the heart, which denies God's authority to direct our lives and our world. Sinful actions such as theft, adultery, blaspheming, from your heart corrupted by the power of sin. There are two root sins. One is pride and the other is unbelief. Pride is evidenced by an attitude which is demanding and arrogant. It denies any need for God. It is unteachable, impatient, overcritical of others, and hard-hearted. How easy it is for any one of us to be infected with pride without reasoning its unbelief, also in the root of much sin. A lot of you are so proudful that you won't humble yourself to God and you won't change, but you got the demons out. You can't do that. Please don't do that. examples of sin that gives conclusive evidence that one is still in bondage to wickedness or has fallen from grace into eternal life. Apostasy, that's in Hebrews 10:26. Again, evidence of sin that gives conclusive evidence that one is still in bondage to wickedness, fallen from grace and eternal life, or apostasy. That's in Hebrews 10:26. Murder, 1 John 3:15. Sexual impurity or immorality, that's in Romans 1:21-27. It comes from the heart. Abandonment of one's family, 1 Timothy 5:8. Leading others into sin, Matthew 18:6-10. Cruelty, Matthew 24:48-51. Again, examples of sin that gives conclusive evidence that one is still in bondage to wickedness or has fallen from grace and eternal life are, 1, apostasy, Hebrews 10:26, murder, 1 John 3:15, sexual impurity or immorality, Romans 1:21-27. Abandonment of one's families, a man who's not taking care of responsibility of his family, that's sinful. 1 Timothy 5:8. Leading others into sin, Matthew 18:6-7. Cruelty, Matthew 24:48-51. These abominable sins manifest utter rejection of honor towards God and the love and care for others. Change that if you have these type of characters in your heart, because your flesh will get to this and keep operating, and you will open up doors back to deliverance, to demons. Amen. Seeing God's awful judgment against the Egyptian army, the people feared the Lord. Seeing God's miracles, deliverance, they believe the Lord. When we receive a true revelation of God, majestic in his judgment against sin, we will follow him in faith. We're growing in fear of God. So we have to fear God and ask him to get this particular sin out. Some people are battling with the same sin. It's called habitual sins. This is why you need grace. And some people have a stronghold of a particular sin that comes through generational curses and bloodline curses. And they don't know that it's a family curse. And this is probably why some of you have a heart to change that heart. Break those curses. If you don't know what curses is, next time we're going to do a segment of generational curse breaking. We're going to break curses. Break any curse that you may know, sexual impurity. You don't know what's in your bloodline. If you break it, it'd be easier for you to get delivered from in the flesh. Now, I want everybody to know that sin is only for a season, Hebrews 11:25. It's just for a season. So don't get comfortable in it. In Colossians 2:11, the Bible says, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision, made without hands, in putting off, O-F-F, didn't say cast out, putting off the body of sin of the flesh. And when you put that off, you got to also remember sins of the fathers. So ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, is this generational? Is this why I'm having so much problem breaking this sin? Is it generational? Is it a stronghold? Is it still a demon in me? Demons can go dormant, and you may be thinking that thing out of you, and it's still in you. Get some deliverance. Do some self-deliverance. Amen? In Ephesians 4:22, it says that you put off concerning the former conversations of the old man, which is corrupt according to this deceitful lust. Deceitful lust is in the old man. So you've got to constantly watch this old behavior. You know, I got upset one time. That gangster came out of me. I was in the car with Rodriguez, and I'll get on here and let him speak about it. And this guy was doing something, And he was just, I mean, just getting crazy. And I pulled my gun. That gangster got it, and he said, hey, calm down. I cocked. I said, let me get out of this car, man. And that old way kicked in. That old man jumped up in me, that gangster. T-Money, move out the way. Let me get up in here and bust a cap on him. You know, that old flesh. Now, I know some of you got some things that you're dealing with. It may not be that. You see that Kentucky Fried Chicken. And it's time to go get some. You get two family packs, and you done over eight. Same thing. It may not be a demon of lust. It's the habit that has to change. And in certain sins, you got to make certain situations a certain adaptation. If you're having problems with gluttony, that the demon of gluttony has came out of you, there's a lot of people dealing with gluttony. The Lord is constantly moving on my spirit with gluttony. I'm seeing gluttony. There's some people having problems sleeping. There's people having problems sleeping. There's people having a lower back problems. Also, there's someone that has cataracts. The Lord can heal your cataracts. There's someone having a problem with alcohol. It's a generational curse. You have to break it. You have to break it. It's a generational curse. You have to break it. Okay, I got that by word of knowledge. What's the definition of deeds? Something that is carried out, an act or an action. Your mind and soul carry things out. It is a war. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. It's backwards and forwards. You remember we said in Paul, Romans 7:14, 7:15. 7:16, 7:17, 7:18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28. Let's recapitulate that, because we got to put that in this sermon, because that's the trouble, is sin that we struggle. Paul mentioned this problem that we have. Everybody have this problem until they get their flesh under submission. So this is why you ain't got to be worried about nobody else, because you got to take care of you. And don't judge nobody. You deal with you. Do you. Leave anybody else alone. Don't watch them by their sin, because look at here. You point your finger at them, you got three coming back at you. So this struggle Paul mentions about, and I said this before, and we're going to say this again. I want to reemphasize this. In Romans 7:14, it says, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, soul under sin. 1 Corinthians 3:3, carnal, carnality. Also, carnality is in Romans 8:6. Again, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal, soul under sin. Carnality, Romans 8:6, to be carnally minded is death. See, when we think carnalism in the natural, it's death to us. It don't bring life. It doesn't bring peace. It doesn't bring revelation. And it cuts us off from the financial blessings, the spiritual blessings, and the physical blessings of God. Sometimes certain sins can be connected to demons through inheritance. If you don't break the curse, cast the demon out, and you still got that problem, it may be dealing with the heart. You have to check that heart. We're going to do some teaching on that heart. That heart got to get checked. Because, man, there are some issues in there, and the Bible says that man's heart is evil above all imagination, and it comes from the heart. And once you deal with that heart, you're going to still have some problems with the flesh, too, because the heart and the flesh is connected. Look at Paul struggling with something here. He says, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. That's us. We all do that. You go do something, why did I do that? It's sin. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consider unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but what? Sin that dwell in me. Sin. It's the sin in you making you do this. Now the demon's gone, but the sin is still eating. The sin still wants it. If you keep doing it, when an unclean spirit go out of a man, he finally swept and garnished and come back and bring seven more. Luke 11, 23 and 24. If you don't clean it up, you're going to open a door and they're going to come back right back in. You're going to be worse than what you was before. Don't do that. Colossians 2, 8 says, beware lest any man spoil you, therefore, through philosophy or vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Some of our problems of sinful habits that we have because they're worldly, and you still attach to the world. You can't be attached to the world. The Bible says, come out from among them and be ye separate, say the Lord, and touch not that unclean thing. 2 Corinthians 6:17. I want to hit this heart. In Matthew 15:19-20, it says, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. See there? So the heart got to change. Okay, we said what you have to put off. I doubt if you can put it off unless you deal with the heart. The heart has to be connected to this teaching. Because if you don't, if I just show you, okay, kill the flesh, it's still going to come because the heart wants it. The heart is pumping the flesh. You got to cut off what's feeding that sin. It's that heart. So for out of the heart of men come what? Evil thoughts. What? Murders. What? Adulterers. Here come the flesh. Look, fornication. Theft. False witness. Blaspheme. Matthew 7:20-23. In Jeremiah 17:9-10, the Bible says, the heart is deceitfully above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You have to deal with the heart. Jesus says in Matthew 6:21, for where your treasures is, there will your heart be. Guard your heart. Matthew 6:22-23, for your heart, you have to guard your heart. If you don't guard your heart, you could be in some trouble. Some of your hearts is far from the Lord. The Bible says some people's hearts are far from God. That's in Isaiah 29:13 and Matthew 15:8. The fact about the human heart in Jeremiah 17:9-1, it is deceitful above all things. So you've got to get that corrected. 2, it is desperately wicked. Who alone knows the truth about the human heart? Only the Lord. Now, you need to go to the Lord tonight. That's in Jeremiah 17:10. Go to the Lord tonight and ask the Lord what's in your heart. Now, I can give you some 13 common things that come out of the human heart of all man. You ain't got to go to the Lord on this one because it's in the Bible. So let's get this one first. Then you go to the Lord on this one. Let's look at Mark 7:21-22. Mark 7:21-22. In Mark 7:21, far from within, this is in red writing, this is Jesus, our Lord. Far from within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts. 1, adulterous. 2, fornication. 3, murder or murders. 4, theft. 5, covetousness. 6, wickedness. 7, deceit. 8, lasciviousness. 9, an evil eye. 10, blasphemy. 11, pride. 12, foolishness. 13, in the heart. This is why we make mistakes. We don't clean the heart. Only God can create in you a clean heart. Only God. What consequences has sin brought unto all men? Death. And you be keep doing these things, you're going to sow a seed. You have to pay it back. It's not worth it. Amen? We have to learn how to deny ourselves. Ask the Lord to create in you a clean heart. Praise the Lord within your whole heart. Seek praises. Call on the Lord. Get close to the Lord in praise. You know, we was doing a deliverance. I was doing an exorcism. And this lady was just so jittery. And the Lord said, she has a good heart. I see her heart. And she was crying to the Lord. I don't want, and I can't say what it was, but the Lord moved on me to put Jermaine Edwards. Hallelujah. Lord have mercy. She calmed down. And God said, I see her heart. See, when God sees your heart, he'll rescue you from these sinful things. God know your heart. You may be doing something that you really don't want to do. You hate doing it. You can be enslaved to, your heart can be enslaved to some sin. Only God can crack that. Amen? And ask no more blindness of your heart, Ephesians 4:18. Don't be blind. Ask the Lord to show your heart. Amen. Now, ask God tonight, Lord, show me what's in my heart. Amen. Ask him. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Now, we're going to deal with part three tomorrow about the flesh and what things to do in areas of fasting. We're going to look at the Daniel fast, the apostles fast, the John the Baptist fast, the Moses fast. Oh, we got a lot of fasting articles that we're going to give you. We got some teaching we're going to break down to you, and we're going to do an in-depth teaching on fasting, because fasting definitely breaks yoke. Jesus says these come out by that of what? Fasting and what? Prayer. By that of fasting and that of prayer. So what we're going to look at in the next series, we're going to close out about the flesh, and then we're going to do a teaching on the disciples' fast. The disciples' fast, according to Isaiah chapter 58, verse 6, is freeing ourselves and others from addictions to sin. The key verse, the kind goes out not but by fasting and prayer in Matthew chapter 17, verse 21. Background, Jesus cast out a demon from a boy when the disciples had failed to help. Apparently, they had not taken seriously enough the way Satan had his claws set in the youth. The implications that Jesus' disciples could not perform the exorcism had they been willing to undergo the discipleship of fasting. Modern disciples also often make light of besetting sins that could be cast out if we were serious enough to take part in such self-denying practices as fasting. Hint turns the disciples fast, and we're going to learn that. Then we're going to learn the Ezra fast, Ezra, E-Z-R-A, to undo heavy burdens. If you got a heavy burden, according to Isaiah 58, verse 6, to solve problems, inviting the Holy Spirit's aid in lifting loads and overcoming barriers that keep ourselves and our loved ones from walking joyfully with the Lord. So we fasted and entered our God for this, and he answered our prayers, Ezra 23. Ezra, the priest, was charged with restoring the law of Moses among the Jews as they rebuilt the city of Jerusalem by permission of King Artaxerxes, king of Persia. Yes, Lord. When God's people had been held captive despite the permission, Israel's enemies opposed them. Burdens with embarrassment have had to ask the Persian king for an army to protect themselves. Ezra fasted and prayed, and she got answers. So if you're in a situation like that, we're going to do a teaching on that. The Samuel fast. A lot of people don't know that there's a Samuel fast that is biblical. So that to oppress physically and spiritually go free, Isaiah 58, 6, for revivals and soul winnings to identify with people everywhere, enslaved, literally by sin, and to pray to be used of God to bring people out of the kingdom of darkness into God's marvelous light. This is a fast for intercession, a Samuel fast. So they gathered together at Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord, and they fasted that day and said that we have sinned against the Lord, 1 Samuel 7:6. Samuel lets God's people in a fast to celebrate the return of the Ark of the Covenant from its captivity by the Philistines, and to pray that Israel might be delivered from the sin that allowed the ark to be captured in the first place. Then we're going to look at the Elijah fast. The purpose is to break every yoke. Isaiah 58, verse 6, conquering the mental, emotional problems that will control our lives and returning to the control of the Lord. That's what this fast is for. He himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He arose and ate and drank, and he went into a strange of food, 40 days and 40 nights. He didn't eat. 1 Kings 19:4 and 8. Scripture does not call for this a formal fast. Elijah deliberately went without food when he fell from Queen Jezebel's threatened to kill him. After this self-imposed deportation, God sent an angel to minister to Elijah in the wilderness. There's a widow fast. The purpose? Our bread with hunger, to care for the poor, to meet the humanitarian needs of others. It's a widow fast. The jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah, 1 Kings 17:16. God sent the prophet Elijah to poor, starving widow. Ironically, the widow could provide food for Elijah, just as Elijah presented himself in for food for the widow at Zophar and me, and pertaining ourselves through fasting, God, in fasting and prayer, relieved them from their problems. The St. Paul fast. The purpose is to allow God's light to break forth like the morning, Isaiah 58:8, bringing clear perspective and insight as we make critical decisions in our lives. As Saul of Paul was 3 days without sight and neither ate nor drank. This fast consists of 3 days. This is a St. Paul's fast. This is the fast that God had me on. The Lord put me on a St. Paul's fast. I never told nobody to this day. He said, release it. St. Paul's fast, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday was for me. And the reason why the Lord had me to fast on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, he told me he died, resurrected Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. He resurrected. And his power in those days of fasting. The Daniel fast. So thy health shall bring forth speedily, Isaiah 58:8, to gain healthier life and for healing. Daniel proposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portions of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank, Daniel 1:8. Daniel and his three fellow Hebrew captives demonstrated in Babylon captivity the keeping themselves from pagan foods. God had girded them not to eat and made them healthier for others to see. So this Daniel fast is a fast for healthy purposes, for insight of your health, cleansing of your skin. God has everything in his word. And we also have the John the Baptist fast, that your righteousness shall go before you, Isaiah 58:8, and our testimonies influenced by Jesus will be enhanced before others. He shall be great in the sight of the Lord and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. Because John the Baptist was a former run of Jesus, he took to the Nazarites and vowed their requirement to fast, form of avoidance, wine and strong drink. This was part of John's purposely adaptive lifestyle. This dedicated him as one that was set apart for special missions. So a John the Baptist fast, if you're going on a missionary mission, you're going to cast demons in a foreign country, you can use this. I hope that you was blessed by these types of fasting that we're going to bring to you. God bless you with this telethon. It's time to go. We gave the word. I hope that you was blessed by the scriptures of the Lord. Please give to Live Deliverance Internet Radio. This is a telethon. We're trying to gather $600 more. If you never have given, please do so. We are trying to pay for an attorney. And we have received $400 in 3 weeks. I thank the Lord for those who have contributed. I want to thank those who tithes, offerings. Thank you so much. It helps this ministry. You can sow a seed at www.livedeliverance.com on the lower left-hand side of the icon. Sow a seed and keep us on air. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. We're going back to regular broadcast. You can come join us now in our room. We're going to be going back to our room at area code 646. You can call this number, 378-1857. We're going to open it up for questions and answers. We're going to turn the mic over to Chaplain John Durden and Assistant Pastor Rod Baker. Chaplain Durden helps me. And I want to thank all of my listening audience at www.livedeliverance.com. Shalom to you and God bless.
Welcome to my gymnasium. Check it out. Watch this. Bring ding 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 ding.
Captain John Durden, you got the mic.
Good evening, everybody. This is Brother John. I enjoyed that session. You was a carryover from the previous night regarding Romans, the 8th chapter, verses 6-8. And I really appreciate it. Just for reminder, for sake, remember when he said Romans 8, 6, and 7, the scripture said, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And then verse 7 says, because the carnal mind is an enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed it can be. And then verse 8 says, so then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. In summarizing what he said the last time and tonight, I came up with a few points now. I can't say everything because I don't write like Superman, so I can write as fast as I can hear it. But this is my summation. He says, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. And then these were summaries he came up with. He says, because Paul describes two classes, y'all, two classes of people, those who live according to the flesh and those who live according to the leading of the what? Holy Spirit. And then I kind of sum it up this way. I say to live after the flesh is to be occupied with the desires. We all know that, thoughts and emotions and the physical gratification. That's our body, you know. And this includes not only sexual immorality, but adultery, hatred, selfish ambitions, and bursts of anger. And then another thing by living according to the flesh is to live after the, talking about the Spirit now, to live after the Spirit is to seek and submit to the Holy Spirit directions and enablements, and to focus one's attention, what, and thoughts and energy and everything on the things of God. Letting sinful nature control your mind leads to death. He said that. And then he says, but letting the Spirit control your mind, what, leads to life and peace. And then finally, I came up with more points in briefing on what he said. Well, remember, he said, we cannot mortify the flesh. He also said the flesh has, the flesh concentrated on lust, and we must deal with our heart, and we must guard our heart in everything that we do. And finally, in summation, I like to say, he said, we should set our affection on things above because our lives are in Christ, who is seated in heaven. And we must set our minds.
Go ahead, Brother John. He's talking to me while you're talking. Right. Go ahead.
Okay, so last thing I want to say, if you live after the flesh, we shall die according to that. But we shall live spiritually. So we should be guided by the things of God, by the leading of the Holy Spirit. I'm through.
Brother John?
Yes.
Dr. Wilmo Licken says, we have his written word. We don't need all that. We have his word.
You don't need what? When he said we don't need all that, what's talking about? Need what? What?
All what I was saying, he said, we don't need all that. We have his word, the word to do it. We got it.
You still are not explaining. We don't need all that. What are you talking about when you say all that? What are you referring to?
I don't. What you talking about? All that's sin and stuff ain't necessary. We're saved by the blood. Lord, have mercy. Ooh, Lord. These people. What you talking about?
You have.
Brother John, he just keeps saying, we have his written word.
That's all you've been saying. That's all up in here. We have his written word. You ain't saying anything.
What you mean?
You haven't said anything.
The word, we have his written word. We have his word. Tongues. Man, all we're right, not
what,
talking
what
about tongues,
word? What does his
man?
Written word? What does his written word? What does his written word says? What was that you just said?
Hey, tongues don't exist.
See, that's what I'm talking about. You have his written word, but you're not
Jesus.
Comprehending it, understanding it correctly, sir. And the Bible also says, do not forbid speaking in tongues. Now, with respect to
1439.
Yeah. Now, with respect to it, the Bible says tongues will cease, prophecy will cease, all those, it shall cease. When you look at all the interpretations, it never says has. It says will or shall, regardless, according to which verse you look at. One going to say tongues will cease, another tongue shall. And speaking with knowing my English and speaking to my English professor, who also is a theologian, says that's future tense. That's not past tense. It didn't say tongue has ceased. If you look at verse 10, 9 to 10, then it says when that which is perfect comes, then it will cease. You know, when that which is perfect, that's Jesus. Ain't nobody perfect but Jesus. And the reason it's still relevant today when God uses tongues right now, that's because he, because the pastors or whoever teaching is not saying everything he wanted to say. So what he would do, he would gift somebody with the gift of tongues, and he goes, Shakatina high five. So then you give somebody else interpretation, because God still teaching us through the leading of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit might lead the pastor, the assistant pastor, the choir director to say something. Say, hey, y'all, the Lord want to speak to you. And they say, go, pastor. And the pastor say, because, you know, the church I go, the pastor say, I have another message from the Lord. And everybody be quiet. And he says, Shakara, Poriniki, Shikere, and Katapalo, so, Kediani Ketepisiama, Kata, Paroso, Koriani Ketepirishikata, No Holy Ama, Sakala, Parianeke, Heshikiri and Katapalo, so, Kata, Pariane. And then somebody else, God would give somebody, two people, an interpretation, just in case somebody kind of go off a little bit. And then he said, thus says the Lord, I am pleased with you, my people. Follow your pastor. He's the one who's in control, not you. I let him to lead the church. You follow his directions. And everybody, amen, and everybody crying, jumping, and say, and I love you, and he might give words of inspiration, so forth. Then sometimes the Lord may use the choir director or the janitor, pastor, the Lord want to say something, say, speak, my child. He said, y'all, the Lord gave me some word. And as he goes, he walk up to the end of the janitor, get up there, and she kidi anda kotapara si. Kediane kotaporo so kotapa katiane kitishi kotapara. And he'd be saying the same thing with the what he told the pastor about, I love you, my people. Honor your pastor, do my will, do this and do that and everything else, kind of a thing. And that's what tongues about. Now the prophecy hadn't ceased either, because prophecy, when God was you somebody like me or you, a choir member or whatever, they go to the hospital and visit somebody and say, thus says the Lord, honey. I didn't think I was going to be here this morning, but the Lord led me to come in. And he want me to tell you so. He's prophesying. See, that haven't stopped either. It'll stop when Christ come back. So we still have prophecy where somebody sends somebody to the hospital to minister to somebody who's sick, about to die, and say, the Lord sent me here, honey, to tell you this. He's prophesying and carrying over his knowledge for the Lord. See, so and tongues has not ceased, because God basically used the ministers and other leaders of the church. Might be just sitting there minding their own business, and just before the pastor closed out the business, the Holy Spirit say, "Hey, I want to speak to the congregation," and say, "Hold up, y'all. I thought I was gonna get the benediction, but the Lord got something you want to say. Thus says the Lord." And then he go, "Shikiri ane kuta para si, kelina kata para sokotina na hakina." In Jesus' name. Now, if he don't have the gift of interpretation, the Lord gives two people the gift of interpretation, what the pastor just said. So if one make a little mistake, the other one can correct it. And he says, thus says the Lord. And then the whoever was given interpretation will repeat what the pastor said in tongues. It says, when that Amen. Which is perfect. Look at it again. Look at it again. Please look at it. It says, it doesn't say has. I mean, has. It says, will and shall. And I call my English instructor from high school and say, what does that mean to you? He says, John, please. Well, okay. That just means future. And I look at my English book and look up shall and will, and it says present tense. And then when you look at the next verse, you say, when that which is perfect, that's when it will cease. Who's perfect? Jesus. So Jesus still communicating with people through tongues and through revelation knowledge.
That's right. I have to agree with that, sir, because I operate with word of knowledge. That's through the Holy Spirit. Yes, sir. All right. Chaplain Durden, thank you so much. Pastor Rodriguez Baker, you got the mic.
I want to say this. I totally appreciate the word, because it really resonates with me. Honestly, I'm just now learning myself that I always thought that anytime I struggled with a sin or old sin, whether it's anger, impatience, lust, whatever it is, I always thought it was still a demon, you know. But I'm learning that it's really, God really gives me an eye opener of it's the flesh, and we have to fight against the flesh. So we have to crucify the flesh. So once I got an understanding of that more clearly, then I can take the approach more better than I did before, especially with like condemnation. Because a lot of times, you know, when I used to fall back into sin, I would be condemning myself and not understanding that it's the flesh. You know, it's the flesh. I'm saved, and then I just got to work on crucifying the flesh and being sanctified. So it definitely is a new way of me looking at, you know, working my walk with Christ a whole lot more.
Amen. Amen. All right. Baker, lead us off in prayer and close it out.
Father, we give you glory and praise today, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for this fellowship, Lord. We thank you that your word says with two or three are gathered in your name, Lord, you're in the midst. Lord, we thank you and we believe that you is in the midst of us, Lord. I pray that everyone whose ears was hurt this word, Lord, that, Lord, that you would send your angels, Lord, to send this word to rectify in the heart, Lord, to live, and, Lord, and to teach us, Lord, and give us the strength to crucify the flesh, Lord, and to be sanctified, Lord, to fight, Lord, with the strength of the Holy Ghost. Lord, we thank you, Lord, give the glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
said this morning I woke up and I looked in the mirror and every part of my body was in place. Many people died and never saw this day. So another day I live, I appreciate. Don't ever wanna act too high and mighty, cause tomorrow I can fall down on my face. Doing everything, Lord, I give you praise. And that puts a smile on my face. Lord, I thank you for sunshine, thank you for rain, thank you for joy, thank you for pain. It's a beautiful day, beautiful day, beautiful day, yeah. Don't put some fight, let us unite, sing up our life.
It's a beautiful day, yeah.